Oklahoma wanted him to be the champions. Oklahoma invented him.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Trail Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Crittenden and Brian Clement.
Hello, Sooner Nation, OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who saw Drake Stoops and his performance at Pro Day and are just wanting him to get an opportunity, like he said, just wanting him to get an opportunity, people who are enjoying that it's 80 degrees outside and it's summer weather. There's plenty of other things we could have in common that I won't list out, but if any of those apply to you, this is the podcast for you. This is another episode of the Oklahoma Drill, a podcast fueled by OU Insider and the Rivals Network. Brian, it's not officially Waffle House Day, but in my heart, it's Waffle House Day. And that's why I'm wearing this pullover to celebrate Waffle House Day, my personal Waffle House Day. Do you celebrate Waffle House Day?
I do now. I love that hoodie. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good one. That's solid taste there.
I don't think Waffle House gets its due for it's just a solid, reliable restaurant.
Yes, it is.
Good for
especially
all occasions.
Especially compared to competition at IHOP, there's no competition. Waffle House is the best. Out of those two, there's no question. And I learned at a young age, especially with how common Waffle Houses are here in the South, like if you pull into the driveway or if you pull into the parking lot and the cook is not outside smoking a cigarette, you need to leave that Waffle House and go to the next one. And that's the one you want to go. If the cook's outside smoking a cigarette when you get there and he flicks it and walks back in, your food's going to be great. Like, no question.
Well, and that's because they're exhausted from providing such quality meals at such an affordable price.
Correct.
But don't tell Patty Gasso that, because Patty Gasso loves IHOP. And the reason why I know that is because after OU beat Clemson in the Super Regional last year, that was the Kinzie Hansen walk-off.
Which one?
I knew it was her birthday. It was Patty Gasso's birthday that day.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the press conference, I asked her, Where does this birthday rank for you? And she said the most exciting thing was that the team had given her an IHOP gift card because she loves IHOP.
Hmm.
And it was really funny. That was not where I was expecting that to go. So anyways, don't tell Patty that Waffle House is better than IHOP. Don't tell
her word.
Brian, people were tuning in probably not to hear us talk about IHOP and Waffle House. They're tuning in because they want to hear us talk about Oklahoma athletics, and it's been a big week. OU spring practices started on Monday. We had the huge media day last week. Pro Day was yesterday. Pro Day is always kind of a chaotic thing, but you know, there were a lot of eyes on how everybody was going to do, who was going to participate in what. I think the main thing was Drake Stoops, who I think had a decent showing at Pro Day. His 40 time wasn't the best. He acknowledged that. I think the unofficial time was 4.67, which is, you know, it's not the fastest 40 time. But look, anything about Drake Stoops is he's not going to be the fastest guy. He's not going to be the tallest guy. He's not going to be the most athletic guy. But talking to him afterwards, he said he just wants an opportunity, that he think you get him on a football field, he can prove he'll belong. And that's all kind of within the context of, you know, it's possible he doesn't get drafted next month. Maybe it's even likely he doesn't get drafted next month. But Brian, you wrote a story from his comments yesterday. What stood out to you about what he said? And is there anything to really glean from his OU Pro Day performance? Or is there kind of a, look, it's not going to be about the measurables with him? You're right. I mean, what stood out to you?
That's just it. I mean, it's never been about the measurables with Drake Stoops. As I pointed out in that story, and he pointed out himself, he started at Oklahoma as a walk-on. This isn't a guy that walks into a room and, you know, there's the physical presence that you would expect from an NFL athlete. Maybe certainly wasn't there whenever he arrived at Oklahoma. But what does show up, what you do see, is the work ethic and the relentless pursuit of being better every day and waking up every day for 6 years and coming to work. And it didn't matter what changed. It didn't matter what was different as far as the program was headed, where the program was headed, who was in leadership. I mean, Drake Stoops just, he was there. He was consistent. And I think there's a lot of value in that. You know, a lot of the things that, you know, a lot of the best receivers or best players really in the NFL from year to year, you know, it may not even be that they are just the amazing athletic talents that they are. It's that they're reliable. It's that they're durable. It's that they are there every week. They're able to consistently be available to play. And I think that there's a lot of value in that for what Drake brings to the table. Now, he is a very good route runner. He has a very, very impressive way of creating space. You know, given he doesn't have that top end speed, he still has shown that the DBs have to give him some respect or give him some space to work, because he's able to really clean things up underneath, and his ability to break things down, read coverages and find open space is really big. So I think that, you know, I would lean to him potentially being a late round guy, probably going to hear his name called, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes undrafted. What I do have a lot of confidence in is he'll be hearing quickly. He'll be, if he's not a guy that hears his name called, his phone's going to ring pretty quickly when the draft wraps up. He's going to have an opportunity somewhere.
No, I agree. I don't know if I'm expecting him to get drafted. Not saying that he couldn't, but I don't know if he'll get drafted. To me, he has undrafted, you know, free agent, but gets a lot of calls written all over him. That's mm-hmm. what I see from him. And I think he's going to be a guy he caught 84 passes for a Power 5 school.
Yeah.
In one season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's someone, he's going to get a look. His work ethic, like all that stuff, he's going to get a look. But, you know, I don't know if the pro day boosted his stock that much. It might have boosted the stocks for Isaiah Coe and Jonah Laulu. Their numbers were really good yesterday. Isaiah Coe benched, I mean, he got 34 reps on bench, which would have tied anybody or any defensive tackle at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, OU only had Tyler Guyton, Walter Rouse, and Andrew Rame at the combine. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see if Pro Day boosted either of their stocks a lot. It was really cool. It was really good to talk to Jonah Laulu yesterday. He was great. I did get to talk to – so Tyler Guyton didn't talk to the media. He didn't participate much in Pro Day, but I got to talk to his dad for a story over at OUinsider.com. That was pretty cool, Brian, getting to talk to Tyler Guyton's dad, Alvin, just to talk with him. And, I mean, a lot of teams are reaching out to him. A lot of teams are reaching out to them. I think he's going to be a day one guy. And that was pretty cool to see, you know, to talk to Alvin about his journey, about Tyler's journey to OU, going from TCU to OU.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him about Bill Beedenbaugh. He said Bill Beedenbaugh is the guy, which was noteworthy given that Bill Beedenbaugh received another raise to his salary yesterday during the Board of Regents meeting. Him and Todd Bates both got raises after they got raises in January. Zach Alley's contract was finalized at the Board of Regents meeting yesterday, $850,000 per year through 2027. Yesterday was a long day. I'm trying to remember. Yesterday was a long day. Started with Pro Day, then Board of Regents meeting, then softball doubleheader. But anyway, all that was great. I did think it was pretty interesting that Beedenbow and Bates got additional raises. I thought that was interesting. I don't know. Anything else stand out to you from the day yesterday?
I think it's funny that funny is probably not even the right word. It's interesting that you're heading into a conference built around the trenches and your two coaches responsible for coaching those guys are getting multiple raises in an off season, which is, you know, it holds water. It makes sense. Yesterday was, you know, I thought it was just interesting how well Laulu's numbers would have held up at the combine. I think his broad jump would have been best among all defensive linemen. And his shuttle was like top three or top four or something. That's one of those guys that, I think if you go back and watch the film and how often they rotate in, I think it kind of got lost at times how much of an impact some guys made just because the depth was really pretty good for Oklahoma up front on the long defensive line this year. So, that was interesting. And then with, I'm drawing a blank here. We just talked about him, Tyler Guyton. Yeah, it was just interesting to see how a guy like that moves. And I just think it's awesome to watch him just do what he does. And I am excited to see where he ends up. I agree with you. I think he's a first-round guy. You know, you just don't see 6'7", 320 moving around like that very often. So, good stuff. Excited for what's next for those guys and can't wait to see where they end up.
I concur. In my unbiased opinion, people should go read my story, the Q&A with Tyler Guyton's dad, Alvin, and people should go read your story on Drake Stoops. That's my unbiased opinion.
Agreed.
They should go over to OUinsider.com and read those stories. Brian, with spring practices starting on Monday, I felt it was good to talk about some breakout candidates or potential breakout candidates for OU football. But before we do that, I think we have a message for the people out there. Is anybody out there, you ever lift a little too hard, just forget to apply, or you forget to apply your daily deodorant and get hit by a truckload of body odor from all directions? Is that 3-in-1 shampoo that you use, does it leave you needing a second shower just a few hours after the first? From the founders of Lume, Mando Whole Body Deodorant is helping men conquer their odor in a new way. Formulated with mandelic acid, Mando has long-lasting 72-hour odor control that actually stops odor before it starts. Best part is you can put Mando everywhere. Pits, packages, feet, skin folds, back, knees, everywhere. To top it off, Mando's cologne quality scents were created with men in mind. Pro tip, try their best-selling scent, Bourbon Leather. It's a game changer. Once you experience fresher underarms, a fresher package, fresher feet, you'll never go back. Special offer now. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code and link. Use code INSIDER at shopmando.com. That is shopmando.com.
This episode of the Oklahoma Drill Podcast is brought to you by Joy Mode. Looking to spice up your intimate moments? Joy Mode makes all-natural and science-backed supplements dedicated to helping men perform better across their core functions. It's a revolutionary alternative to the little blue pill, and it comes in a palm-sized packet like your favorite electrolyte powder. All you have to do is mix it into 6 to 8 ounces of water, wait 45 minutes, and watch the magic unfold. Here are the game changers. All ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals, and all ingredients have been studied and researched in humans. You'll never go back to prescription or over-the-counter drugs after trying Joy Mode, and it's small enough to fit in your wallet and take with you on the go. It's the perfect travel companion. So go to usejoymode.com for 20% off with code INSIDER. That's 20% off and free shipping with code INSIDER at usejoymode.com. Joy Mode, ingredients with integrity, and a proud sponsor of the Oklahoma Drill Podcast.
Brian, as I mentioned, OU spring practices started on Monday. Now, it's important to note that we do not have any access, or the media won't have access to The first few days of spring practices, no availability this week, no open practices. And then next week is spring break. So we really won't have our first chance to observe practice until later this month, really in like a week and a half. So, which is a little unusual. The last couple of years, we've had at least a couple of open practices to observe the first week of practices. So a little bit different this year. However, we did get to talk to a lot of the newcomers last week. And I think this is an interesting time, Brian, with the SEC move and the focus on the offensive line, all kinds of stuff that, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what guys can kind of emerge from the pack. And to me, I always look at, you know, who are guys that maybe showed some promise last year, but didn't get a ton of time. Maybe they dealt with injuries that, you know, guys entering their second or third year that could really, you know, make a big impact on the field. So I asked, or we talked about coming up with a guy or two on offense and defense that we think fit that mold. You do not know who I picked, vice versa. So Brian, why don't you start off? What's a guy, when you're thinking about breakout guys or guys that could have a much bigger role next year, what's the first, who's the first guy on your list?
Caleb Hicks is the first guy I went with.
Yeah. I like that. Why Caleb Hicks?
So, first of all, he just looks a little bit different than the rest of the guys in the running back room from a development standpoint. I haven't had a chance to see the newest addition to the room yet, but whenever you see Caleb Hicks, he just looks SEC ready, I guess is the best way, like physically development wise, he's ready to go. Physical development wise, he looks ready to go. He's listed at 5'11", 216 pounds, according to the spring roster. He moved really well from what we could see of him in practice last year. I am interested to see if he kind of breaks through a little bit in a deep room. And look, the thing that gives me, you know, hope or an idea that he could be the guy that ends up, you know, having some sort of breakout year is I just don't know what to expect from Javonte Barnes at this point. You know, we've had a Jekyll and a Hyde season from him. We've had one of each. And, you know, I think that Hicks is one of those guys that is, he looks as if he could take the grueling punishment of an SEC schedule and get right back up and continue playing on. So I think that's a guy I would hope has a good spring and somebody that could definitely break out in the running back room.
Really like that pick. That is not what I would have guessed. Not any disrespect to him. That's just not what I would have guessed. But I really like that pick, not only because in the shuffle of last year's running back room, you know, Daylon Smothers obviously, you know, was a guy that, you know, they were both true freshmen last year. Mm-hmm. Daylon Smothers is gone. Then you add the Tawi Walker, Marcus Major, Javonte Barnes carousel. You know, Caleb Hicks only saw the field in a couple of games and mostly in garbage time. But I think that's interesting because while people should be excited about Gavin Sawchuk as the starting running back,
yes,
I don't think there's been enough discussion about what happens behind him. And I thought it was really interesting that even though Tawi Walker had already announced he was going to enter the portal, he saw the second string running back snaps in the Alamo Bowl last year. He still saw seven carries. No other running back saw the field. So to me, that second running back spot behind Sawchuk is wide open.
Oh yeah.
And you're not going to be able to give Sawchuk the ball 25 times a game, every game. Somebody else is going to have to come in and do stuff and on the field. You would think Javonte Barnes is going to be that guy, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least has the inside track. Or Sam Franklin, both guys that have seen the field.
Yeah.
Sam Franklin was awesome last year. I think they're really excited about what he can bring to that room as a transfer guy with some experience. But why can't it be Caleb Hicks?
He's got all the parts, all the pieces. And I think that if he can put it together another year, I always like to say that the second year of the second off season is really where you start to see big time jumps for guys, especially mentally. You've gotten a good grasp on what to expect. you're going into your second go around, and so everything's familiar, and you can really just, you can be comfortable and get into just making yourself better, putting in the days and stacking good days. So I really hope that that's what we see from him.
I'll throw another name at you to do one off my list. Jaden Gibson. And it's a little bit of an interesting pick because I think Nick Anderson is going to be the really popular answer. But in my head, Nick Anderson already kind of broke out last year. And now it's about, can he elevate even more on top of that? I think Jaden Gibson is a really interesting guy to me, Brian, because he made a lot of plays last year. But, and we've talked about this before, he had 14 catches. 14. It seems like he had like three times that.
Yeah.
But for all the impressive catches he had and really making himself as a weapon in that room, he had 232 snaps last year. He finished with fewer snaps than Angel Anthony, who missed more than half the season. Angel Anthony had 60 more snaps than Jaden Gibson last year.
It's wild.
It's wild. And I just, his efficiency was crazy. I mean, he had 5 touchdowns on his 14 catches. He averaged almost 27 yards per reception. It's clear that when OU threw it to him, which was not that often, and again, he wasn't on the field that much, his 6'5" frame, his length, his athleticism was crucial for them. But I think it's interesting because that wide receiver room, outside of losing Drake Stoops, ton of depth and skill and experience there. Now you add Deion Burks into the mix as a guy that's probably going to see a lot of snaps right away. Angel Anthony is expected to come back before fall camp even starts. I'm just wondering, are there going to be more snaps for him? Because you add Deion Burks and Angel Anthony, then Jahlil Farouk and Nick Anderson, all the guys that are in that room. I think this spring is really important for Jaden Gibson because there's going to be a lot of guys jockeying for snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jaden Gibson should see the field more. I just do. And I think he could, but I think the spring is going to play a big role in that. I don't know. What do you think about the Jaden Gibson pick?
Yeah, no, that's good. I like that one. That was, he was number 4 on my list for offensive guys. I kind of went away from, I went away from one, and he was somebody else that popped up. But no, I like that pick a lot because obviously he's shown the ability that, you know, every opportunity that he gets, you know, you hear Brent Venables talk about guys being thankful for their opportunities and making the most of them. Well, like, that's a guy that did it. I mean, he didn't just talk about it. He did it last year. So, and I was afraid at one point in time that he was going to be a guy that might decide to maybe try and test the water somewhere else, but he stuck around, and I think that says a lot. And I'm excited about what Oklahoma brings back as far as pass catchers go, and he's a guy that absolutely, with the frame he's got, the speed he's got, he's physical at the point of attack for the, you know, and goes after the football. I love it, and I think that that's a guy that could definitely break out next year.
Remember when the narrative was that he dropped a bunch of passes?
Yeah.
That is just long gone. That is way in the rearview mirror. It's crazy what a year, how much a year can change.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, defensive guy, you're up. Who is a guy on defense that you think can break out in 2024?
EJ Adibara.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
And you got the last name. That was pretty good.
PJ Adibawara.
That's good.
I'm working. I'm watching film. I'm bettering myself.
I love it. PJ was high on my list too. Present the case. State it.
So we've heard that he has gained some significant weight. He's done a good job. He's a little bit bigger this year. He's starting to add on some muscle, but it also sounds like he's been impressive throughout the spring in bag drills. And I have heard from a couple of different people that the first day of spring looked really good with him rotating in. Really like that. He's a guy that this feels like the perfect breakout candidate because one, he has the five-star billing. Everybody expected him to come in and, well, not everybody, but, you know, most people expected him to come in right away and be that next great defensive end at Oklahoma right off the bat. But a lot of folks don't understand that's like one of the hardest positions to come in and make an immediate impact with when you don't have any experience at this level. So I really like what he brings to the table. There's just not guys out there built the way that he is. There's just not very many of them. And I think that another year working with Coach Chavis and working with Coach Bates, I think it's going to be huge for him. And again, just like I said with Caleb Hicks, having a second offseason to really put things together, to be comfortable in the system and what you're doing. And we saw at times last year, he was, you could see him thinking on the field, which is not a good thing. You know, football's a reaction game. You've got to be able to react immediately and use your instincts. When you're out there thinking, you're typically too late. And so that happens a lot with young guys. I expect that to happen less for him. And the spring is going to be huge, because if he can take that leap, having a pass rusher of that pedigree on the field immediately makes your defense way, way better. And so I think that's a guy Oklahoma needs to jump, and I think he's going to.
Love the pick. I think he's got to be at the top of the list. You know, this coaching staff has not been big on giving freshmen a ton of snaps. So when you see a guy get snaps as a freshman, like meaningful snaps, I think you take notice. You know, Peyton Bowen and PJ Adebowara were at the top of that list. It was a little interesting that Brent Venables specifically said PJ is weighing at 255, but on the official spring roster, he was at 240. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's accurate. I think that's what he weighed at last year, I believe. I think
240,
Yeah, 240.
It's carried over. Yep.
I would say don't read too much into that. I think he is a little bit bigger. It's going to be interesting. He's going to be a guy to watch when we do get to go to practice in a couple of weeks, but I don't think that 240 number is accurate. I do think he's a little bit bigger. That defensive end room as a whole is a really interesting one to look at, and I think there's a ton of guys there, which that'll lead to, I want to give some honorable mentions real quick before I give my defensive pick, which is, you know, I thought about Kip Lewis at linebacker, although I think that room is going to be interesting too, because Jaron Canick, it was a real competition between Kip Lewis and Jaron Canick for that spot. Does Kobe McKenzie get in the mix? Do any of those other linebackers, Phil Bachotti, Samuel Omosigo, tons of guys. You know, that should be interesting. You look at the defensive tackle room. Could someone like Grayson Holton have a bigger role next year, with OU basically having to replace really both their starting defensive tackles, with Jacob Lacey medically retiring and Jordan Kelly being gone, you know, Jonah Laulu. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. My pick, and it'll go more into that discussion of the defensive end room, and Parker Thune, our colleague, will be very happy to hear it. It's R. Mason Thomas.
Let's go.
It is R. Mason Thomas. And he's a guy that we talked about a lot last year. I know Parker and I talked about him a ton last year. It wasn't the season that I think a lot of people were expecting him to have. Injuries kept him out of a few games. He didn't see a ton of snaps in a defensive end room that was really crowded. But I asked Brent Venables about R. Mason Thomas, and during the middle of the season last year, and he said he was our best defensive end during fall camp. Straight up, was probably our best defensive end. Then he got hurt. This is the year. He's heading into his third year. This is the year for him to stake himself as the best defensive end in OU's room. That's going to be hard to do, though. That's going to be hard to do, because not only do you have Ethan Downs returning, and I put him in that Jaden Gibson, like, I think he quelled a lot of the concerns last year. Yes. Last year was a good year for Ethan Downs. But even removing Rondell Bothroyd, I mean, now you got Caden Woolard from Miami in the mix. Yeah, I think he's probably going to play a lot. Just look at his stats last year for Miami of Ohio. You've got Trace Ford returning. He's probably going to see some snaps off the bench. Then, yeah, you add PJ. You add the new freshman guys. I just, you know, It's a crowded room. It's a really crowded room. I mean, could Danny Okoye do anything in that room? I wouldn't completely rule it out. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. That's why I think the breakout stars I had in mind are guys that could see a huge role and could be really productive, but it's not a given.
Right.
That defensive end room, man, I think there's a lot of ways that could shake out. You could tell me it's PJ and R. Mason Thomas. They played a lot of snaps together last mm-hmm. year, specifically those two. You could tell me it's Caden Willard and Ethan Downs. I don't know, man. What do you see from that room?
I agree. No, there's a lot of it's kind of like what you've seen at linebacker, at safety, at corner. You're seeing the depth start to really show, like that drop off from, and that was never the problem for Oklahoma. The initial 11 was never the issue really with Oklahoma. All these years you had the top level athletes. You did. There were guys there. Sure. You know, maybe in the past regime, guys up front were a little light, but the athleticism was there. The problem was, is there wasn't any depth. Whenever you dropped from 1 to 2, when a guy needed a breather, the depth just wasn't there. And so now you're seeing it at these positions where you've got guys that can ball at one, you know, at the top and in the middle and you know, three deep in some situations. So, I think that's a good pick, and I like that room. I had a couple of shout outs real quick on mine.
Honorable mentions.
Yep. Another guy with three names, Robert Spears Jennings, I think is somebody that's going to have a huge role that is going
love
to break
pick.
Out. Really, really like him, what he brings to the table. Again, just another freak athlete back there. You know, the names that you hear obviously are Billy Bowman, and everybody's excited about what we've seen from Peyton Bowen, but do not sleep on RSJ. That's a guy that's going to have a big role for the Sooners. Offensively, I almost put Jackson Arnold in there, but I felt that was I wanted to dig a little bit more because I think that one's so obvious, and you'd probably agree with me that, you know, the concerns that people may have after watching the Alamo Bowl, I think those will be squashed pretty quick. He's going to be a star. Everything is pointing upward for that kid. So really like him. Bower Sharp, and I had Bower Sharp / Devon Mitchell as my other one. And I think one of those guys, there's too much importance now at the tight end position for Oklahoma to not have a weapon there, especially with what they've gathered in that room. And I think one of those two guys is going to be big for the offense.
Really like those picks. I should have mentioned Wyatt Gilmore as a freshman that could come in and potentially do something at defensive end. Really like those picks. That tight end room as a whole is one of the more fascinating groups to watch. They basically had no depth there last year. And now you lose a couple of you lose a couple of the guys that were on the roster last year, not to mention obviously Austin Stogner. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be really interesting. You know, and I look at defensively, I don't know if I would call them breakout stars, but, you know, could guys or breakout candidates, but could guys like Makari Vickers and Josiah Wagner, could they get more in the mix next year?
For sure.
You know, in that cheetah position as a whole, you know, it's probably going to be Desan McCullough and Justin Harrington kind of fighting it out for snaps there. But I actually think there's a ton of positions that, you know, might have a starter or two that you can lock in there. Mm-hmm. But what about those guys behind those guys? You know,
yeah, Kendall Dolby's going to be on the field.
Kendall Dolby. Kendall Dolby was great towards the end of the season last year. And what about, I mean, at cornerback? Yeah. And we talk about the cornerback room. Can Gentry Williams stay healthy? Mm-hmm. And if not, what happens behind him in that room?
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Is there a position group that you're really watching as we go into spring, or, you know, once we get to go to some open practices, just a group as a whole, either because they have a ton of questions or because there's a lot of ways it could go?
Yeah. The offensive line, you know, as a whole, I would say, but even more specifically, I'll just go with the interior offensive line. I feel pretty good about Jacob Sexton being obviously one of the starters there. I think once Spencer Brown gets his feet wet with what Bill Beedenbode likes to do, I think he's probably going to shore up the other tackle spot. But on the interior, I'm curious. I think Troy Everett's probably going to be the guy that ends up winning that center spot, but it could be, you know, is Josh Bates ready to take a jump? Is he going to just fill in there and you know, be better than what we saw from Troy Everett in the bowl game? That's interesting, but you know, how does Fabetchi Nwewu look? How does he fit in with what Oklahoma's trying to do? He looks fantastic athletically. He weighed in at a, he was good at what he weighed in. Looks physically imposing, looks like an SEC guard. So I, you know, can he get in the mix somewhere? But still, with all of that, there's still a guard spot open. Like, there's still, we don't really know. Is Garen Hatchett going to be able to, you know, get healthy enough by season's time to be a factor there? Is that somebody that you're going to be able to lean on, or are we going to have to look at maybe a younger guy? Is somebody like Heath Ozaida kind of work his way in there? Where's Logan Howland fit into all this after everything we heard about him last year? It's just a really interesting group. Lots of good talent. And, you know, Eddie Pierre-Louis comes in the summer. That's just another body that is ready to compete at this level. I mean, talk about an athletic freak. That's a guy that steps in and immediately becomes one of your best athletes in the room. So offensive line's got to be where I'm looking, but really, really looking at the interior there.
I'll add the interior defensive line to that. I think that's actually a position that hasn't been discussed enough. There's talent there, but I mean, really, OU's kind of having to replace two starters there too, like I mentioned earlier. So really, the interior on both sides of the ball, I think are going to be really interesting to watch. And I think a lot of people saw the spring roster and saw that. I mean, some of those interior guys need to add some weight, probably. You know, DeJon Terry is the only guy that weighs over 300 pounds in that interior defensive line room. So that's going to be a group to watch. But Brian, I like our picks. I think our picks were good. I would dare say they're the best breakout candidate picks that anybody could pick.
They're the only ones that matter.
They're the only ones. If you didn't get mentioned, you're irrelevant. I'm totally kidding. There's going to be a lot to watch, man. A lot to watch as spring practices unfold over the next couple of weeks. Next week, we will talk a little bit more about some football. We're going to talk about some softball. Don't think we're not seeing what Sydney Sanders is doing at the plate. Man. 10 home runs on the year, leads OU. She's had 8 home runs in the month of March.
Go ahead and read the text I sent to you last night during the game. Go ahead. It's okay.
Yeah, and you said it after her first home run.
Correct.
She hadn't even hit the second one yet. You said Sid Sanders about to go on an absolute tear through Big 12 play and win Big 12 Player of the Year. Hey, why the hell not?
Yeah,
honestly, why the hell not?
She's on an absolute tear right now. I mean, my goodness,
she is.
And you knew it was going to happen at some point from what we saw from her at Arizona State. So yeah, it's fun.
It is. She's no one's hitting the ball better than her right now. Kelly Maxwell is throwing just heat on the mound. I think those two players have kind of been the story of the last few games for OU. It's Sid Sanders at the plate, Kelly Maxwell in the circle. We're going to have a lot to talk about with softball next week. OU goes to Texas Tech this weekend for another conference series, but plenty of stuff to break down, plenty of stuff to talk about next week. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button over at the OU Insider YouTube channel. If you're not a VIP member over at OUinsider.com, why? We keep telling you to do it. You should just do it. Plenty of content there as well. Plenty of stuff to break down as OU continues spring practices. But until then, we'll see you next week on another episode of the Oklahoma Drill.